First Movement, Dropping the Masks. Chapter 3, A Voice in the Night. The night engulfed the circus animals' quarters in darkness. Yang, the lion, had retired alone to his large private room, regally adorned with crimson curtains tied back with golden cords. Portraits of him in various costumes and poses hung all over the walls. His fierce eyes glared with authority out of each picture. In the far corner, one painting depicted his female lions and cubs, respectfully lying under his paws. In stark contrast to the military marches Yang preferred for the shows, a romantic melody was softly playing on an old phonograph. Next to it, the lion had sunk into his couch, finally relaxed after a long, tiring day of acting as Yang the King. Shaking his mane to the rhythm, the lion began crooning along with his favorite song, in a hum too low to be heard by noisy outsiders or his lionesses next door. His eyes closed as the song stirred nostalgic memories and the ache in his limbs slowly dulled. While Yang's eyes were closed, the owl flew across the room. It perched on a cupboard in a dark corner and studied the lion for a short while before speaking.
"Good evening, Your Majesty,"
began the owl. Her voice startled Yang out of his reverie, and he leapt up to attention with a snarl. In a fierce stance, he glared around the room but couldn't see anyone, thinking that his ears were playing tricks on him, for who would dare disturb King Yang? The lion settled back onto the couch with a grunt.
"You did hear me, Your Majesty,"
said the owl from the shadows.
"I am interested in you, and with your permission, I wish to ask you a few questions."
Now, very upset, Yang sprang upright, furiously shaking his mane and prowling around the room in search of the bold voice. He let out a threatening growl as he finally spied the owl perched atop the cupboard.
"Who the hell are you, daring to disturb King Yang?"
The owl blinked her big eyes at him and said,
"Oh, who I am doesn't matter much. It is our conversation that will matter. But if you insist, I am Athena, an observer and a learner who flies from circus to circus. I used to work with a circus myself some time ago. I love the thrill and the beauty in each circus and in every circus performer that I meet."
Impatient with her lengthy explanation, Yang roared,
"I am not amused at your nonsense, you miserable nuisance. Get the hell out of here now!"
"Ouch! You just meant to be aggressive, didn't you? Well, if you intend to frighten me, you'll have to try much harder. Hey, why don't you go for it? Show me your scary regal stuff."
Yang's jaws clenched in a threatening display as he unsheathed his big claws and glared across the room at the owl. Undaunted, she continued,
"I'd be disappointed if your anger would be all you have to show me. But if we can discuss respectfully..."
Dropping his menacing posture, Yang asked,
"You aren't scared?"
"Scared? Why should I be? I'm not. How do you feel about that, King Yang?"
"Strange."
Not many had failed to quail under his display of might.
"But kind of intriguing as well. I guess I'm so bored with no one standing up to me here."
"Then I'll stand up to you as long as you are strong enough, O Mighty One. Let's get started. I watched your show today, and I overheard the audience saying that you, Yang, let all the females do the hard work while you sit there and yawn, and that the cubs all look frightened of you. They also said that the show was boring, because the jumps were repeated over and over again."
Shaking his mane dismissively, Yang retorted,
"Dry bones. That's just dry bones. I have no interest in such gossip."
"I sense a part of you is not fully comfortable here. Is that true?"
The lion's nostrils trembled. The owl continued,
"Could it be that part of you which enjoys listening to romantic melodies?"
Yang turned around and padded over to stand under the portrait of his family. He stared up at them for a long while before growling,
"That part, that's my heart."
Athena let him gaze at the painting. Yang's hardening posture sagged a little and his fierce eyes softened slightly as he looked at his lionesses and cubs. After a long silence, Yang spoke in a rough voice.
You have to understand, I hold on to my power as long as I look invulnerable. And I do since I won my lionesses from the old king. That day I killed all his cubs, so it would be quicker for the females to give me my cubs. Over time, invulnerability thickens your skin, so when I found out that I still can be hurt, well, yes, it is uncomfortable, as you noticed.
So you built up an armor for yourself over the years, and it's not foolproof. Now, is that a good or a bad thing?
Obviously a bad thing.
Yet it also allows romance and nostalgia to pierce through it, to your delight.
I'll give you that.
Rotating her head to face Yang, Athena asked,
You've got me curious. Does this armor allow others who reach out for your love to enter your heart?
At the owl's probing question, the lion's body violently stiffened and his claws shot out. The owl went on despite Yang's discomfort.
I see that you are brave. And yet, I sense fear in you now. Can we stay with it and find out where it comes from?
Perturbed, Yang pondered the question for a while. He replied pensively,
You've just shot right through my armor again. The truth is, nobody genuinely reaches out for my love except my cubs before they see who I am.
And who's that who they see you are?
Come on. Everybody knows I am the fearless king of beasts who fiercely protects his pride,
answered Yang, getting a bit of his swagger back. Athena blinked one large eye and asked,
What pride are you talking about?
Pride is the name given to my group of females and cubs.
Right. Thanks for chasing my doubt away. Back on track now. What is there to love about the fearless king of beasts who fiercely protects his pride?
Yang thought it was obvious.
My strength, my speed, my ferocity.
Seriously?
Yes.
I would think those attributes make you proud, and they can be admired by others. But can they be loved?
Yang frowned and said,
If not, then at least I should be loved for protecting my own.
From whom?
The lion didn't answer for a while. Memories swirled into his mind and his jaw clenched involuntarily. Wondering at the emotions flitting across Yang's face, the owl said,
I see that you are reflecting. Where are you now?
In the crater of a volcano in Norongoro, Tanzania, where I came from and where there was a need to protect my pride.
From whom?
Rivals for territory.
I see. May I check that I got everything right so far? You believe you must appear invulnerable to preserve your might? So you built an armor for yourself over the years. It's not foolproof, and its holes let your heart both enjoy romantic melodies and be occasionally hurt. You expect to be loved for protecting your own, yet nobody genuinely reaches out for your love. If that's all accurate, what do you want to do with all of it?
Disturbed at how Athena's description had hit eerily close to the mark, Yang kept silent for a while. He sat staring at his portrait, searching his thoughts. Finally, he said slowly,
My armor is not fully protective. I understand it's a good and a bad thing. There is a bigger thing, though. It's my whole system that is preventing me from being loved.
And what is that system?
My father's and my ancestors. Our motto is, Show your strength always. Take no prisoners. And knock off others who may threaten your supremacy.
How well has that system served you so far?
Very well in the volcano, and well enough here. Yet, the problem I start to see is that when I get older and lose my strength, I will be cast out to die alone.
A moment later, he stated, with a new note of determination,
So I have to adjust.
As the owl remained silent, he pondered,
Let's say I let go of my armor. One day, one of my cubs attacks me to get my position, and I feel more and more tired. I'd better stay fit. Maybe I should start by being more active in the show.
Maybe, just maybe?
Well, there is a downside. My pride will wonder what's happening, and other animals might think I'm going crazy. That would be embarrassing.
Why would you care what other animals think? I've heard you criticize them sharply, time and again, and in public, as if you are despising them.
That's not for real. It's a game. I don't mean they're no good. It's just what I do.
Who knows that it's a game?
Pushed Athena, making Yang feel uncomfortable again.
Come on, it's just a bit of fun. It's instinctive.
Come on, give me better than that. Please. Who do you love, by the way?
My females and my cubs,
said Yang, glaring at his family portrait. Athena looked at the portrait too.
Do they know it?
They should.
Is it their duty?
You are provocative.
How do you let them know?
I care about them.
I am sure you do. And how do they see it?
You have more questions than there are antelopes in Tanzania.
You are provocative. Where I come from with that question is simply that love is like respect, trust, and listening. If you want it, it helps that you offer it first.
Growling, Yang paced the room as he was confronted with the hard truth of her words. He frowned as if struggling with his feelings. Then he heaved a deep sigh and admitted,
I get your point. I could show more that I care.
Then let's take one first step. When was the last time you gave a heartfelt compliment to someone?
The lion was startled. When had he last lowered himself to offer someone a good word? He rolled his eyes and answered,
I can't remember. You win this one.
That's too easy an escape. And I don't mean to win anything here. What blocks your heartfelt compliments?
Come on, complimenting's a female thing. My father never uttered praise to anyone, not even thank you.
Maybe it was the sulfuric acid in the air at that volcano. I'm joking. Are you assuming that your father's behavior defines malehood?
Yang became mute.
I mean to help here. Let me try harder. When you criticize other animals at the circus, does it elevate you?
No.
Now, if you compliment them, will it lower you?
No.
Will you lose your malehood?
No.
It would take much more than that to shake King Yang's malehood, he thought.
So...
Fine. I will try.
Try? Just try? You must be joking.
Yang rolled his eyes.
Fine. I'll roar a compliment.
And the first lucky winner will be...
Yin.
Why her?
Because she extinguished the fire at my pedestal today. And all I did afterwards was to mock her for being slow and ask her if she had grown too big to run. I'm not proud of that.
Your heart recognizes when to offer a compliment. It seems like your armor and your role model, I mean your father, with all due respect, were holding you back from doing it. What do you want to talk about next?
Yin intrigues me.
Yang said thoughtfully. He sank into his couch, pondering.
She is extremely strong, but she rarely shows it. That beats me. I've criticized her nastily many times, but she always remained calm. Come to think about it, the way she treats me is quite like a mother being patient with her kids' tricks. What does that make of me in her eyes, then?
A pensive mood fell upon Yang as he continued to wonder about Yin. He pursued,
Also, Yin does not control her herd tightly, yet they do anything for her. Well, she cares a hell of a lot for them, I suppose, and she shows it. Her way with her group and my way with mine are quite opposite.
Yang paused in his reflection, and Athena probed further.
What haven't you said yet?
That I should hunt for and catch some of her good ways.
Should. Just should?
You never let go, do you? Okay, I will do it. And you can come back and check in with me.
I am honored by the invitation, yet have to decline. I won't visit you again because you already have all the might to move ahead, and I trust you will honor your words and take action.
I will. My pride and I will make our show more exciting. After all, I'm bored of our old routine too.
Yang said with renewed vigor. He stood up and strode excitedly back and forth across the room. The owl stayed silent. Yang carried on.
I will stop roaring negative words at others, and they can think whatever they want about that because I'm strong enough anyway. And I want to support our circus's progress. I don't know how yet, but I will think about it.
As the owl remained mute, he looked up at her and asked,
Hey, you're not saying anything anymore. Is that because you hear a lot of I in what I say? Or maybe you're glancing at my portraits across the room, thinking I am, was, all about I, me, myself.
The owl chuckled.
Aren't you speculating here? Anyway, in the spirit of your game, what if I indeed hear you say I a lot?
I have grown a bit self-centered and complacent, and I have been working less and less over the years. But I am dropping that lazy part of me, and will muscle up to support our pride's efforts in improving our show.
I know you will. I also know you'll drop your mask, dare to be humble, and open up. Only then can you reconnect with others. What I heard is more and more honesty and courage from you in our conversation. You inspired me. Thank you.
Said the owl with a little bow. Yang smiled up at her.
Just the same. Thank you for your honesty and courage in our conversation tonight. Your questions will keep provoking me long after you are gone.
Said Yang, acknowledging her with a regal nod. The owl flew off as the lionesses next door exchanged quizzical looks, wondering silently if their alpha male, talking to himself for so long, had gone dangerously nuts.